The wind was against them. Do you know that feeling? You sailors, you cyclists, you kayakers, paddle boarders, and boaters, the wind was against them. This is a situation of the disciples in a boat out on the lake, battered by the waves far from the land. It's not a storm, but it's rough sailing. The disciples are probably uncomfortable, but the text doesn't say that they are afraid. What frightens them is not the wind and the waves, but the appearance of a figure, perhaps a ghost, walking toward them on the sea. Take heart, Jesus says. It is I. You may be expecting me to talk about Peter's boldness to step out on the water, or that Peter was doing fine so long as he kept his eyes on Jesus and wasn't distracted by the wind and other elements, but I think we've all heard that sermon more than once. Yes? I'm more interested today in this three-word declaration by Jesus when he gets to where the disciples are. After he says, "Take heart," he says, "It is I. It is I." In this three-word phrase, we hear deep and resonant echoes. It is I. Is not so different from the name of God. I am. Jesus the Christ, sent by the I am to teach us how to live in full relationship to God, to redeem us, to save us in all kinds of ways, comes to the disciples, walking toward them on the waves. But here's the thing. The I am, God, is with them in the boat, with the wind against them, even before Jesus reaches them. For in part, what Jesus came to reveal in ways we could no longer dismiss or deny is the reality of Psalm 139. Do you remember it? If I descend into hell, God, you are there. Or if I take my place in heaven, you are there. There is no place we can be where God is not, for God is already where we are and where we are going, even if we don't know where that is. We don't take God into the world. We discover God present, active, and at work in God's world. And we are called to take our place in that work. We show up because God has already showed up. God is already present in every circumstance, even when we cannot yet discern it. Please hear what I'm saying and what I'm not saying. I am not saying God causes every circumstance or sends every situation. I am saying that no matter where we are or what is going on, God is present. God is with us. This is the message of Matthew's gospel from start to finish. Matthew's gospel begins, as I've reminded us a number of times already this year, Matthew's gospel begins with the birth of Emmanuel, God with us. And it concludes with the ascension of Jesus, where he says, "I am with you always, even to the end of the age." Start to finish, God is with us. This is Matthew's message. And Jesus makes claim, the I am is with us. God is present in every circumstance, even in a pit with no water, even when someone has been stripped of their distinctive garment, custom made for them by their dad, sold for 20 pieces of silver, and betrayed by their brothers. God is with Joseph when his life bottoms out, in another crazy drama triangle in the book of Genesis. Joseph is the victim in this drama triangle today. His brothers as a group are the persecutors. His big brothers Reuben and Judah are sort of semi-rescuers. These are the roles of the drama triangle, right? Persecutor, victim, rescuer. Thanks to Reuben, Joseph isn't killed, but is thrown in a pit. Thanks to Judah, Joseph is not physically injured, but rather sold to the passing caravan. And at this moment, I'd like to bring you a public service announcement from Anglo-Catholic priests and thurifers everywhere that the caravan is transporting, did you hear, gum, balm, and resin. That's Wrigley's, medicine, and incense for you. Incense from the beginning, don't forget. Joseph's brothers' interventions, those by Reuben and Judah, save Joseph's life. But they don't spare Joseph the trauma of being shackled and sold into slavery, taken away from everyone and everything he knows. They don't save his father the grief of thinking his favorite child is dead. It's one thing to decide to strike out on your own and make a life in a new place. It's another to be forced into it against your will and without your consent. It may not seem that God is present with Joseph in those moments, but God is. Stay tuned for more of this saga next week. We hear it foreshadowed in today's psalm, Psalm 105. Joseph will have an experience none of them could have ever imagined. As things go on and famine comes to the land where Jacob's family lives and hunger takes hold, the plot of Joseph's brothers to get rid of their father's favorite, that annoying dreamer of a little brother, will be transformed into something else. And the drama triangle will be flipped. Joseph will go from victim to faux persecutor to true hero and rescuer. Joseph will be in the position to be judge, jury, and executioner, and he will show mercy. He will see Reuben step up and protect the life and welfare of their baby brother, Benjamin. He will see that his brothers have made amends in various ways for their harsh actions, their betrayal of him. And he will say to them, God sent me here before you to preserve life. He will declare to his brothers that God has made a way. I've said it before and I will continue to say it. Our God makes a way where there is no way. We see it over and over in the stories, the dramas of Scripture. If you think back, if you look back, you'll see it over and over again in your own life and the lives of everyone you have ever known. Somehow or other, God makes a way when things seem impossible. So don't give up. If you don't know what's next, don't despair if you can't see your next steps quite yet. In Jesus the Christ, God has already redeemed our lives and our life. God is with us and for us. When the wind is hard against us, when we are down in a pit, when we are frustrated, misunderstood, and depressed, when we don't know which way is up, as well as all the times we are filled with joy and thanksgiving. Wherever we are, God is already there. God is already here. And wherever we are going, even if we don't know where that is, God is already there. Our patron, St. Paul, says in the reading from Romans we just heard, if we put our trust in Jesus the Christ, we are saved, we are delivered, we are made whole. It means all those things. In a few moments, we'll sing an offertory hymn. It's number 656 in your hymnal. And the last stanza says what I want to say. The soul that on Jesus has leaned for repose, this is the I am talking, I'll never, no, never desert to its foes. That soul, though all hell should endeavor to shake, I'll never, no, never, no, never forsake. God, give us eyes and hearts that can remember that and that can discern the presence of the Holy One who is always with us everywhere, no matter what. Amen.